doing all this and so on and so forth. Was it that bad here?
Probably not. I mean, I don't get it anyway. I don't even get that there's a minimal problem anywhere. I don't understand this. I mean, if I were a Detroit sports fan, I would understand rioting about that because, first of all, almost all of their teams are terrible.
They have to live in Detroit.
But, I mean, I don't get why it has now become kind of like a rigueur for, you know, on college campuses after a big win that people do this. Why do they do that? You just won. Be happy. I announced on the air, you know, go out, have a bunch of beers, and then have some ill-planned premarital sex. Well, you didn't need to be rioting. You're in college, you know?
Well, it's nice that you're pointing them in the right direction, you know? It's one thing to point out the problem, but when you come up with an alternative,
And you'll be happier, ultimately. You wake up the next day, after you tip over a car, you got abrasions in your knuckles and stuff like that. But that can happen. Oh, never mind.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good, pretty intriguing that the folks at Cat's Ace Hardware gave us the whole list of stuff they rent.
They'll never do that again.
We mentioned the toilet auger.
Toilet auger, by the way, could be useful this weekend if you try to flush too many peeps on your toilet.
Right.
Well, that's pretty bad. Peeps can clog up a line worse than just about anything.
They got the carpet blower.
Yeah.
I don't know that we necessarily expand on that. Let's see what else we have here.
Mickey has tried to rent it a number of times.
That's a residue pump.
Doesn't seem to come back the same way that I left the shop.
No. They gave us a list because they want you to be able to rent stuff to fix the lawn with.
That's great, but why would you include, like, you know, all this
residue pump
ladder stuff and circulation fans and... let's see, we got a rotary spreader.
Well, the main thing is that with the season coming up here, you want to be on a war footing with grubs and moles and ducks and anything else that can hurt your lawn.
Don't be messing with ducks.
Ducks, you want to be on a war footing. A war footing with all the enemies of your lawn.
Here's what if you go to Cat's Ace Hardware, of course they've got the Scotch stuff, the four-step program and all of that, and they can tell you how to put it down and everything. But what they do have that probably, I don't think anybody else has this in the whole country, Dick the Lawn Doctor.
Mr. Dick the Lawn Doctor,
who will help you detect and correct what's troubling your lawn.
Because they know what time it is. I mean, just go in there and explain what the situation is, and they'll give you the right products and the stuff to, make the little grasses grow and make the little bugs die.
Yeah, that's right. It's all Scotch stuff, and it's good, so... And
grow, little grass, grow. Die, little bugs, die.
Rent yourself a toilet auger and have a hell of a weekend.
Right. That'll be for the...
All right. Scotch, a four-step program at Cat's Ace Hardware, Main Street, Glastonbury.
Okay, we're back. You know, obviously one of the problems faced with the 9/11 panel today was they didn't want to seem like a bunch of white men, you know, teaming up on a African-American woman like Condoleezza Rice, which is why Richard Benvenisti yielded half of his time to Whoopi Goldberg today so she could ask some questions. Do you have a bulletin? Is that a bulletin?
Well, I don't know that I'd categorize it as a bulletin. Mm. Says UConn students who vandalized property and set fires during the rowdy celebrations will face suspensions and possible expulsion, according to the dean of students.
I'd actually force them to go to classes instead, actually. I think that would be a more appropriate punishment. So.
The university is using police reports, news photos, and even pictures posted on student websites to identify those who have violated the school's code of conduct.
Yeah. The anti-rioting policy recently instituted. Can we talk to Martha from West Hartford?
Yes, I think we should. Mm-hmm. Martha, hi.
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 Just a brief comment. I've noticed over the last, couple of weeks, that an awful lot of the more conservative callers tend to refer to Dr. Rice as Condi, as if they were her personal friend or her little sister, where they would never call Mr. Bush Georgie, and they would never call Dr. Kissinger Hanky. I just think it's so interesting that Condi Rice, they said she's never referred to as that. I thought Bush was much more respectful, and I think it's because she's a woman and not because she's black, but I'm not positive.
Hmm.
Have you noticed that?
Yeah,
I mean...
You
had a caller before who said, he didn't even bother with her last name.
Well, that's the thing, she's sort of...
called her Condi.
She's like Jackie, you know, I mean, everybody knows so who you're talking about. I don't know what that... let me think about that.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention it.
We're going to depart from the overall format of the show, and we're going to think about this and then talk subsequently.
Wow. Revolutionary.
Yeah, we got to try it.
All right.
See how it goes.
Bye.
You know, excuse me, did you have the jacket on before?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. I didn't know if I was seeing things. I feel better.
I sort of spent a little time looking at this Waterbury story and during the break. I can't say that I haven't enough time to sort of figure out too much about it. But just basically, you get the federal investigators. These are the U.S. Attorney's Office. They've subpoenaed documents related to the Tomaso brothers and this project. Now, this is a project in Waterbury that involved a magnet school rehabilitation of a theater there and a parking garage. Also part of the Waterbury, I guess the new Waterbury campus for UConn's Waterbury.
It was a couple hundred million, wasn't it?
Well, what's one of the interesting things about it was the project started out as a $54 million project, and I get the feeling reading this that it was bid on as a $54 million project. Now, the way these kinds of projects work, the developer's controllable costs, there are all kinds of controllable costs. The thing that's kind of in play is the fee charged by the developer, which is a percentage of total construction costs. So there were only three companies bidding on this, as far as I can tell: Tomaso, ONG, and Wirth. Wirth had to be kind of driven away because that was the group that Giordano was trying to shoehorn in there. But Tomaso had proposed charging a total fee of 4% of construction costs. ONG was talking about 1.75, considerably lower, and Wirth was 3%. So Tomaso's obviously high in terms of their fee. What's interesting about all this, though, is that, yes, they added stuff to this later. They added the garage and a larger school and more extensive renovations to the theater. So as so often the case with these fiscally responsible, lean and mean, tightly controlled Roland administration projects, this started out as a $54 million one. It became a $200 million one, which is also interesting because obviously the Tomaso fee on that quadrupled. It went up to around $8 million, which is maybe if everybody had known it was a $200 million project, would have a different bunch of companies bidding on it. I don't know. I don't have any idea. But that's certainly a question that I would want
to ask. ONG came in at 1.7%.
1.75, yeah.
And Tomaso was at 4.
Yeah. Now, there's a reason for this. First of all, we have to back up and say this is a project that's overseen by something called the NVDC, Naugatuck Valley Development Corporation, which
that has a familiar ring to it.
Yeah, we've talked about this entity before. It's another one of these quasi-public entities. Not really part of state government, not really part of municipal government, but in receipt of a lot of public monies and then in a position to disburse them. And significantly, the chairman of the NVDC is a guy named Michael O'Connor, who was an intern for then U.S. Rep. John Roland during the 1980s. And you know, once again, who knows what's going on here? But there are sort of plausible explanations. Apparently, ONG had a problem. There had been some bad blood between ONG and at least one member of the Board of Education over some previous school project. And that was one reason that they didn't get this. It looks like the Board of Education somehow or other signed off on this project. And then there was at least one member of the board, I guess on an oversight committee anyway, and she had voted to reject ONG because of problems with another school project. All I can say about this is, once again, I feel almost bad for the Tomasos because there may be a number of projects in which they legitimately got a contract that they had coming to them. But, because this whole process is so compromised and the same players turn up over and over again, the same style turns up over and over again. Anyway, this guy, Michael O'Connor, he's the NVDC's chief executive officer. He was also deputy commissioner of the Department of Motor Vehicles in the Roland administration. I think he was an intern at one point. There are also ties to now former Judge Joseph Mangacci. His law firm, or the firm that he was a partner in at the time, Drubner, Hartley, O'Connor, and Mangacci, was hired by the NVDC to do legal work
You mean they didn't do it for free?
No, unfortunately not.
Oh. Not in situations like this. The firm was employed as the company's lawyer when the Tommaso contract was awarded. I just want to mention although this story is breaking today as an Associated Press story, and I don't know how significant any of it is, but the feds apparently are looking into this. Dan, we should give some credit. Dan Levine from the Advocate newspapers had a whole bunch of stuff about this, I think, as far as I can tell, before anybody else did. And if you want to dig through, just Google NVDC and one of the other names, you'll get his story. Anyway, we don't have a lot of time to go into this today, and I don't know how much more significant it is. It isn't a state story. This is a Waterbury project that may have involved state monies, but anyway, that's that.
All right. Would you like to pick a call?
Oh, great. Sure.
We have a whole minute.
Yeah. Here's Steve in a car. Steve.
Hi, guys.
Okay, real quick here. First of all, we are privileged to have Lou from Hartford. This is Lou Brown, I think, calling in here. Hi, Lou.
Hey, Colin. How you doing, Ben?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good. I had to call you in because I call you affectionately my nerd brother.
Yeah.
And I think at the time that you and the Nation of Islam in Hartford, mm-hmm. called on two reporters to appear at the Bushnell Park at a gathering.
Mm-hmm.
And it was you. You remember that?
Yes.
And myself.
Right.
Having said that, constructive thing you talked about.
Yeah.
In terms of the cost overrun, those other kinds of things,
mm-hmm.
I want to talk with you because how come this never happened with the casinos? The casinos, they put the bids out, and I said, "This is what we're paying you."
Mm-hmm.
I think we should check it, but I think with the casinos,
yeah.
the one there was no cost overrun, and it came under time.
Mm-hmm.
Done deal.
Yeah.
The culture, how come when it comes to the public sector, whether it be Hartford or the state, that cost over and all these other astronomical kinds of costs to taxpayers?
Lou, I think what you're saying is that our next governor should be a Mash and Tuckett, and I'm with you 100% on this.
I'll get in touch with you to talk about that because your research you've done regarding the cost overrun.
No, I think you're right. I think it's an interesting point. I don't know. Obviously, when public monies can start, when public monies get involved, it seems as though, because in fact nobody's really accountable, and particularly in a situation like this, when you got one of these agencies like the NVDC, which isn't really answerable to the electorate in any particular way, then there's a lot more room for that kind of thing.
And then I got to say one thing to Bruce.
Right.
Bruce, I feel for you, brother, but can you imagine the Nation of Islam in Hartford? Calling for two reporters.
Wait just a second here.
And my second, and me, at the Bushnell Park, Bruce. So I still see you, Bruce.
I'm kind of a...
Thank you very much. Yeah. I appreciate that, Lou.
I'm nominally a black man in some ways. I wasn't completely out of place there.
Colin, be well.
All right, bye.
It's exactly... what Senator Lieberman said when he was...
Actually, the world community of Islam, they actually liked me for some reason or other. I have no idea why, but they actually did like me.
Well,
they invite me to all kinds of things.
You do have some charming
points. May have thought I was a black man.
Yeah, possible.
Many people make that mistake. All right, now we don't have time for Rick, do we?
Not really.
Very good.
Yeah.
All right, Rick, sorry.
But the beauty of this is we also don't have time for other people.
We don't have time for locutus either. That's the good news. That's a silver lining. We'll talk to Rick tomorrow after The Apprentice. Anyway, he's our special correspondent on that show. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Oh, we weren't on tomorrow. Never mind. We'll talk to all of you Monday. Thanks to Bobby Sherwood, our producer.